ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातम् सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं त्वं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरित्विषे नमः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सर्वशास्त्राब्दि पीयूषा सर्ववेदैक सत्फल सर्वसिद्धांत रत्नाढ्य सर्वलोकैक दृक्प्रद सर्वभागवत प्राण श्रीमद्भागवतम् प्रभो कलिध्वान्तोदितादित्य श्रीकृष्ण परिवर्तित रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 20 टेक्स्ट 25 यदि कुर्यात् प्रमादेन योगी कर्म विगर्हितम् योगेनैव दहेद् अम्हो नान्यत्तत्र कदाचन यदि कुर्यात् प्रमादेन योगी कर्म विगर्हितम् योगेनैव दहेद् अम्हो नान्यत्तत्र कदाचन यदि कुर्यात् प्रमादेन योगी कर्म विगर्हितम् योगेनैव दहेदम्हो नान्यत्तत्र कदाचन यदि कुर्यात् प्रमादेन योगी कर्म विगर्हितम् योगेनैव दहेदम्हो नान्यत्तत्र कदाचन ಕದಾಚನ ಯದಿ ಕುರಿಯಾತ್ ಪ್ರಮಾದೇನ ಯದಿ ಇಫ್ ಕುರಿಯಾತ್ ಶುಡ್ ಪರ್ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಪ್ರಮಾದೇನ ಡ್ಯೂ ಟು ನೆಗ್ಲಿಜೆನ್ಸ್ ಯೋಗಿ ದ ಯೋಗಿ ಕರ್ಮ ಅನ್ ಆಕ್ಟಿವಿಟಿ ವಿಗರ್ಹಿತಂ ಅಬಾಮಿನೇಬಲ್ ಯೋಗೇನ ಬೈ ದ ಯೋಗ ಪ್ರಾಸೆಸ್ ಏವ ಓನ್ಲಿ ದ ಹೇತ್ ಹಿ ಶುಡ್ ಬರ್ನ್ ಅಪ್ ಅಮಹ ದಟ್ ಸಿನ್ ನ ನೋ ಅನ್ಯತ್ ಅದರ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ತತ್ರ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಮ್ಯಾಟರ್ ಕದಾಚನ ಎಟ್ ಎನಿ ಟೈಮ್ ಶುಡ್ ಬಿ ಎಂಪ್ಲಾಯ್ಡ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಪರ್ಪೋರ್ಟ್ ಬೈ ದ ಡಿಸೈಪಲ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಎಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್. ಇಫ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೊಮೆಂಟರಿ ಇನ್ಅಟೆನ್ಷನ್ ಅ ಯೋಗಿ ಆಕ್ಸಿಡೆಂಟ್ಲಿ ಕಮಿಟ್ಸ್ ಅನ್ ಅಬಾಮಿನೇಬಲ್ ಆಕ್ಟಿವಿಟಿ ದೆನ್ ಬೈ ದ ವೆರಿ ಪ್ರಾಕ್ಟಿಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಯೋಗ ಹಿ ಶುಡ್ ಬರ್ನ್ ಟು ಆಶಸ್ ದ ಸಿನ್ಫುಲ್ ರಿಯಾಕ್ಷನ್ ವಿದೌಟ್ ಎಟ್ ಎನಿ ಟೈಮ್ ಎಂಪ್ಲಾಯಿಂಗ್ ಎನಿ ಅದರ್ ಪ್ರೊಸೀಜರ್. ಪರ್ಪೋರ್ಟ್: The word yogena here indicates jnanena yogena and bhaktya yogena. Since these two transcendental systems have the power to burn sinful reactions to ashes, it should be clearly understood that the word amahas or sin here refers to an accidental fall down against one's desire. Premeditated exploitation of the mercy of the Lord can never be excused. Significantly, the Lord forbids any extraneous purificatory rites, since the transcendental yoga systems are themselves the most purifying processes, especially bhakti yoga. If one gives up one's regular prescribed duties to perform a special ritual or penance, trying to purify a sinful reaction, then one will be guilty of the additional fault of giving up one's prescribed duties. One should pick oneself up from an accidental fall down and go on vigorously with one's prescribed duties in life without being unnecessarily discouraged. One should certainly lament and feel ashamed, or there will be no purification. However, if one becomes overly depressed at an accidental fall down, one will not have the enthusiasm to go on to perfection. Lord Krishna also states in the Bhagavad Gita 9.30, ಅಪಿಚೇತ್ ಸುದುರಾಚಾರೋ ಭಜತೆ ಮಾಂ ಅನನ್ಯ ಭಾಕ್ ಸಾಧುರೇವ ಸಮಂತವ್ಯಃ ಸಮ್ಯಕ್ ವ್ಯವಸತೋ ಹಿ ಸಹ. ಇವನ್ ಇಫ್ ಒನ್ ಕಮಿಟ್ಸ್ ದ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಅಬಾಮಿನೇಬಲ್ ಆಕ್ಷನ್ಸ್, ಇಫ್ ಈಸ್ ಎಂಗೇಜ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ಡಿವೋಷನಲ್ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್, ಹೀ ಈಸ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಕನ್ಸಿಡರ್ಡ್ ಸೇಂಟ್ಲಿ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಹೀ ಈಸ್ ಪ್ರಾಪರ್ಲಿ ಸಿಚುವೇಟೆಡ್. ದ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಇಂಪಾರ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ಪಾಯಿಂಟ್ ಇಸ್ ದಟ್ ಒನ್ ಶುಡ್ ಬಿ ಪ್ರಾಪರ್ಲಿ ಎಂಗೇಜ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಡಿವೋಷನಲ್ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್, ಫಾರ್ ದೆನ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ವಿಲ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಕ್ಯೂಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಪ್ಯೂರಿಫೈ ಅನ್ ಆಕ್ಸಿಡೆಂಟಲ್ ಫಾಲ್ ಡೌನ್. One should, however, be most cautious to avoid such an unhappy event. Hare Krishna. So welcome everyone for the morning Srimad Bhagavatam discussions here. Seek blessings of the senior devotees Narasimhanand Prabhu here. I can speak something relevant for this verse where Krishna is instructing Uddhavji, and after explaining karma, jnana, bhakti, he is now explaining the contingency plan, as they say. What if something goes wrong while the person is practicing devotional service? So he is saying interestingly that if because of momentary inattention a yogi accidentally commits an abominable activity, all three words are superlative degrees of adjectives: momentary, accidentally, and abominable. That means a very, very special kind of situation where somebody is succumbing to something which is not desirable. Then what should he do? Then by the very practice of yoga he should burn to ashes the sinful reaction without at any time employing any other procedure. It's like sometimes, not sometimes, I mean, I hope nobody does, but when you fail in an exam in a class, in a school, what do? You study better. It's not that you leave the school and go somewhere else and start doing something else, but we start doing certain things better. And in the Bhagavatam, we see we have examples of so many sincere souls landing up making some mistakes. And I was just reflecting, the whole Bhagavatam, a majority of it is actually, they are not talking about the successes of these sincere souls. They are actually talking about the mistakes and the failures. And it opens up with the confusion of Vyasdev. He did a mistake at his level that he glorified karma and jnana. Parikshit Maharaj, inconceivable mistake. As a tiny infant in the womb of his mother, he could bear the scorching heat of a Brahmastra. And here he was not able to bear the thirst, which was produced because of a bodily urge. And I'm sure Parikshit Maharaj must have fought many wars in the past, where you don't get food and water. But here he was that overwhelmed with this bodily urge, and he does something unthinkable, right? And he was cursed to die in 7 days. Pandu Maharaj, he accidentally killed this Brahmana called Kindama Muni and cursed beyond his own comprehension. Within a moment, his happy life became a life of an ascetic. And ultimately, in spite of the curse, he got attracted to his wife under superlative conditions and perished. Kunti Maharani getting a son when she was still not married. In fact, when Durvasa Muni gives her the boon, Durvasa Muni seemingly doesn't explain the whole import. You know, sometimes like in ISKCON also, you get services, so the whole gamut is not explained. And gradually things get revealed. That, oh my God, ye bhi tha kya iska part. So when Durvasa Muni just says, oh my dear daughter, whenever you think of any demigod and chant this mantra, the demigod will come. And she was hardly 11, 12 years old at that time. Yeah? And she said, oh wow. So Durvasa Muni left, so she had some free time. She was sitting in her chambers, looking out the window and looking at the sun, and she was like, oh wow, if I think of the sun will come. And the sun came. And she was like, oh wow, the mantra works. Thank you for coming, you can go back. And he said, no, what going back? I'm supposed to give you a son. He said, what? You're supposed to give me a son? That was not part of the deal. He said, no, that's the part of the deal. You have to get a son. But I'm unmarried. So that all considerations I'll take care. Don't worry about it. You will give birth to a child through your ears. Inconceivable. The Karna is born with this Kavach and Kundal and everything. And imagine Kunti living with this secret in her life. Giving birth to a child when she is still a virgin in a culture where this was unthinkable. And then letting that child flow away in the river. Right? Mothers are very careful about the children, especially when they're just born. And she had to be flown away in a basket. And then all her life she has to live with the secret that Karna is her son. In fact, when the martial exhibition is taking place and all the princes are showing their prowess, and finally everybody is done, and finally there is one person who is beating his chest, standing on the outskirts of the stadium which was erected for this performance. And everybody turns around, who is this? And he openly challenges that I'll show everything, I'll do everything that Arjuna has done and much more. And he very indifferently bowed down to Drona, bowed to Kripa, and he started doing every single feat. And as he was doing that, he did everything that Arjuna had done. And then he said, I want to have a single combat with Arjuna. One on one. And at that time, the clouds covered up the sky. And then through a small gap between the clouds, a ray of sun came and illuminated Karna's, its armor. And Kunti sees this and she faints. And Vidura is thinking, why did she faint? Vidura could actually get a hint that there is something between these two people. She couldn't even speak out to anybody. See, you do some mistake, you speak out to somebody, dil halka ho jata. But here she was living and dying with this mistake. apparently. And it was not that that mistake was, she has flown away, that consequence of that mistake, it went away. The karma is such, it will come right in front of you. Karna came right in front of her. He could have gone and challenged Kamsa also. He didn't. He came to Pandavas and Kauravas. That's how laws of karma are. And Kunti Maharani is supposed to be the incarnation, the success potency of Krishna. If this is what is happening with the success potency, imagine what will happen with any ordinary soul. But if you look at all these examples, there are several examples. Indradhan Maharaj, Chitraketu Maharaj, you know, Bharat Maharaj getting attached to the deer for no apparent reason. And later became a deer. Ajamil, nice Brahman, fell away. And not just for 1-2 months. 63 years. 63 years he actually passed his life in that manner. So basically we see that a sincere soul is not defined by his or her mistakes. Rather, they are refined by their mistakes. And that's why they make their way into the Bhagavatam. And none of them even prayed to avoid the consequence of their mistake. All of them faced it. Parikshit Maharaj did die in 7 days, being bitten by the serpent. He did die. He faced the consequences. Ajamila had to face Yamadutas. Chitraketu had to become Vritrasura. Kunti had to undergo the pain of keeping the secret, trust issues. But generally when marriages happen, generally it is the system that girl and boy is supposed to reveal everything. Because that becomes the foundation of a trustworthy relationship. But here she was, she couldn't even reveal to Pandu what she had happened previously. And that is the heaviest thing to live with. To live with the secret from someone whom you love so much. But Kunti had to face the consequences, no matter who you are. So consequences are inevitable, but how you grow with those consequences is what is interesting to look at in the life of these Vaishnavas. So we shall focus on 3 aspects regarding this particular theme about the momentary inattention, accidental fall down into the most abominable activity. And I'll talk about, make a small attempt here to talk about 3 things about what is the Lord's response to such accidents? How is Bhakti Devi's response to such things? And what is a devotee's response to such things? How does these 3 different, because these are the 3 people involved in it. So we shall see how they respond and what is their take on this kind of situation. So in the Gita, we see that how in the 9th chapter, when Krishna is talking about devotional service and everything, most confidential knowledge, and he says, Samoham Sarubhuteshu Namidveshwastina Priya. That nobody is dear to me. Nobody, I am not anyone's friend or enemy. But if somebody is worshipping me, I show him special favors. I am a friend to him and he is a friend in me. And interestingly, the right next verse, he is actually indicating how does he show his friendship to such a devotee. He's not saying, oh, I immediately take him back to Godhead, I immediately give him all my opulences, I immediately give him prema. No. He's speaking something very, very starkly contrasting. He's saying, such a person who is in me, even if he lands up doing an abominable activity, abhichet suduracharo bhajatema manam nebhak sadur eva samantavya samyak vyavasitohisa. He's saying that even if he lands up performing most abominable activity, not durachar, su durachar, the best of the abominable activity basically. That means it's unthinkable, unacceptable, unimaginable, even by the moral codes of conduct of a society. But what is his quality? Bhajate maam, ananya bhak. He has unflinching faith and unflinching trust in Krishna and he worships him. So Krishna is saying, if somebody is doing that, sadhur eva samantavya. One should consider him a sadhu, samyak vyavasito isa, because he is rightly situated. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur reveals the conversation that is happening between Krishna and Arjuna. And Krishna's heart is being, he is revealing that. And he is saying, is saying, my attachment to my devotee is my very nature, O Arjun. That attachment does not decrease even if the devotee commits wrong, for I make him come up to the highest standard. If someone with bad conduct, addicted to violence, thievery or adultery, Sudurachar, worships me and worships no one except me and does not follow any other process like karma or jnana and has no other desire than my desire, he is my devotee, sadhu. Sarjan is saying, but considering his bad conduct, how is he a devotee? How can you call him a devotee? His conduct is bad. Krishna is saying, he is to be respected as a devotee because of his devotee qualities. It is a command. Mantavyaha. It is a command. That means don't use logic here. It is a command. And not doing so is offense. My order is the authority, he said. It's a command. You may consider him or not consider, but it's a command. He has to be considered a sadhu. Arjun. So he should be considered a devotee in that position where he worships you, and as a non-devotee in that portion where he commits adultery. Chalo, morning 5 to 9 he is a devotee, but evening 5 to 9 he is a debauchee. Is that the way we should look at him? Krishna is saying, no! He should be considered as a devotee. Eva. Eva means all the parts. In all the parts he has to be considered a devotee. Now this is very inconceivable. Extremely inconceivable to accept, but this is Krishna. You should not see his bad qualities at all. He is completely convinced. Samyak vyavasitaha. And Krishna is then saying, how does this devotee feel? He says he makes a splendid resolution. Why is this devotee so dear to me? Krishna is giving a glimpse. He is saying, this devotee is thinking, I'll go to hell for my sinful actions which are hard to give up. But I will not give up worshipping Krishna. And because of this dedication, I get dedicated to him. He is not afraid of hell. He is saying, let me go to hell for my sinful actions. I don't want to be rescued from sinful reactions. I will go, but I won't stop worshipping Krishna no matter what. Chakravarti Thakur says at one point, he says, faith is, even if Krishna comes down and tells you, stop worshipping, you say, actually, I won't stop worshipping you. That's faith. That is Shraddha, that is. We are going to worship Krishna no matter what. Even if Krishna tells us not to worship him, we'll disobey him. He's saying, seeing that this kind of commitment of a devotee, Krishna is saying this. Arjun is saying, but how can you accept the worship of such a sinful person? How can you eat food and drink offered by such a sinful person? By a heart contaminated with lust and anger. Krishna, tumhara bhi kuch standard hai yaar. So Krishna is saying, Shipram Bhavati Dharmatma Shashvat Shantim Nigachati Kaunteya Pratijani Name Bhakta Pranashyadi. So Krishna is saying, very quickly, wo jo tu bol raha hai na, this is a very small thing. Shipram, quickly. Very quickly he becomes righteous. So don't think, very quickly means it's not. He might, Vishwanacharya Thakur say the present tense is used and not the future to express the fact that having committed sin by remembering Krishna, he becomes repentant and very quickly becomes righteous. That's why Bhagavatam in the first canto says, when a devotee performs a sinful act, he does not undergo material existence like a karmi. Because the duration in which he realizes and rectifies his mistake is much longer. But in case of a devotee, shipram. Very quickly he becomes righteous. As soon as he does abominable activity, he starts repenting. Oh my God, what did I do? Parishit Maharaj just took the time to go from the hermitage to his palace. That was the time. He immediately became righteous. So saying, and he's thinking when he does a sinful activity, oh how unfortunate I am. There is no one as low as I bringing bad name to the devotees. Repeatedly, Shashwat, he feels completely disgusted for those actions, he's saying. So, Chakravarti Thakur gives the example that just like we have fever sometimes, but as soon as you take medicine, even if the fever has not immediately subsided, it's not considered seriously. Dawai to le liya na, चला जाएगा. लाइक यस्टरडे हिज होलीनेस भक्ति चारू महाराज वाज सेइंग दैट यू हैव टेकन भक्ति, डोंट वरी अबाउट अनर्थ, दे विल गो अवे, हैव सम पेशेंस. सो सेइंग दस विद द एंट्रेंस ऑफ भक्ति इन हिज माइंड द सिनफुल एक्शंस आर नॉट टेकन सीरियसली एंड द ट्रेसेस ऑफ सिन सच एज लस्ट एंड एंगर शुड बी कंसिडर्ड insignificant like the biting of a toothless snake. I don't know what does that mean, but how can a toothless snake bite? But even if he tries to hunt you, nothing happens, right? And thus he attains nigachati, complete cessation of lust and anger, shantim, permanently, shashwat. He will be purified. So Krishna is, Chakravartipad is saying that in the word nigachati, the ni stands for nitaram or completely, which means that even during the stage of having tendency to commit sin, he has a pure heart. Very interesting. Even at the stage of tendency to commit sin, he still has a pure heart from Krishna's perspective. So Arjuna is saying, if he eventually becomes righteous, there will be no argument. However, if a devotee is sinful right up till his death, what is his position? Sudhari nahi raha hai. Mrityu tak gadbad kar raha hai. Chakravarti Thakur says that Krishna at this point becomes a little angry because of affection for his devotees, and he starts speaking a little loudly. Volume badh jata hai Bhagavan ka. And he's saying, O son of Kunti, my devotee is not destroyed. At the time of death, he does not fall. Arjuna says, but arguers with harsh tongues will not respect this. And Krishna then tells Arjuna, O Kaunteya, go into the squabbling assembly with the tumultuous sound of drums. Dhol leke ja. Tu dhol leke ja. Wo kaha? Go to this assembly of Smartas and so-called Brahmanas and Vedic scholars who are speaking all those things. Beat this drum. Throw your hands in the air and declare this. Arjuna said, what should I declare? That your devotees can commit sins? They have license? Krishna is saying, declare that my devotee, the devotee of the Supreme Lord, though committing sin, does not perish, but rather reaches success. Arguments defeated, pride deflated, they should undoubtedly respect you as a guru. Sridhar Swami is saying, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. Jaake bol sabko. अभी वॉर बाद में करेंगे, पहले ढोल पीट क्या. कृष्ण इज सो इम्फैटिक हियर. एंड देन आचार्य एक्सप्लेन दैट व्हाई डिड लॉर्ड ऑर्डर अर्जुना टू डिक्लेयर व्हेन ही कुड डू इट हिमसेल्फ, बिकॉज कृष्णा ब्रेक्स हिज प्रॉमिस समटाइम्स टू रिस्पेक्ट द ऑनर ऑफ हिज डिवोटी, बट इफ हिज डिवोटी हैज सेड इट विल नेवर गो डाउन, इट हैज टू बिकम ट्रू. कृष्ण इज सेइंग, इज इट सो रिमार्केबल दैट माई भक्ति डज नॉट कंसिडर द एक्सीडेंटल फॉल्ट्स. अरे तेरे को इतना क्या अजीब लग रहा है कि बिकॉज ऑफ भक्ति एक्सीडेंटल फॉल डाउन कैन बी टेकन केयर. अरे बाबा, आई कैन प्यूरिफाई दी भक्ति, माय डिवोशन टू मी कैन प्यूरिफाई इवन फॉल्ट्स अराइजिंग फ्रॉम वन्स बर्थ. व्हाट टू स्पीक ऑफ एक्सीडेंटली फॉलिंग डाउन हियर एंड देयर. एंड देन ही सेज, माम ही पार्थ विपाशित्र्या ये पी स्यू पाप योनयः स्त्रियो वैश्य तथा शूद्रस्ते पियान्ति पराम गतिम. अरे पाप योनि, समबडी इज बॉर्न ऑफ सिनफुल बर्थ, दे आर प्यूरिफाइड. What do we speak of somebody who is practicing devotional service and accidentally falls down? He is immediately purified. And then, you know, Chakravartipad quotes those famous verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Kirat Hunandra Pulinda Pulkasha and Aho Bato Shupacho Gariyan, that they are all purified. In the previous chapters here, when Krishna is speaking to Uddhava, reflecting his consciousness, giving confidence to the Jiva, बाध्यमानोपि मत भक्तो विषयेर अजितेंद्रियः प्राय प्रगल्भया भक्त्या विषयेर नाभिभूयते. माय डियर उद्धव, इफ माय डिवोटी हैज नॉट फुली कॉन्कर्ड हिज सेंसेस, ही मे बी हरास्ड बाय मटेरियल डिजायर्स, बट बिकॉज ऑफ हिज अनफ्लिंचिंग डिवोशन फॉर मी, ही विल नॉट बी डिफीटेड बाय सेंस ग्रेटिफिकेशन. दिस पर्पोर्ट इज गिवन बाय द डिसाइपल्स ऑफ श्रील प्रभुपाद. Abhibhuyate indicates falling down into the material world and being defeated by Maya. But even though one's senses are not fully conquered, one who has unflinching devotion for Lord Krishna does not run the risk of being separated from Him. Bhagavan se vichhed nahi hoga galti hone ke paschat bhi. Because he has unflinching faith. He accepts his mistake. He is willing to go through sinful reaction, but he does not give up Krishna. And that last quality is what endears Krishna towards such a personality. The words pragalbhaya bhaktya indicate a person who has great devotion for Lord Krishna and not one who desires to commit sinful activities and chant Hare Krishna to avoid the reaction. Such people don't get recourse so easily. Right? Namno baladyasya papi buddhi. If you perform sinful activities thinking if I chant that will get purified, then that's a very, you know, it hurts Krishna basically. You're basically utilizing a facility for a wrong purpose. His kindness is being exploited. Krishna's kindness is being exploited. So that becomes a serious offense. He's saying, because of previous bad habits and immaturity, even a sincere devotee may be harassed by lingering attraction to the bodily concept, but his unflinching devotion for Lord Krishna will act. And Chakravarti Thakur in that purport gives, he writes that just like sometimes a warrior is struck by weapon, but still he continues to fight. Or somebody, you know, get infected by a disease, but he takes proper medicine and is quickly cured. So he's saying, even if he displays occasional weakness, he is still considered a devotee if his devotion to Lord Krishna is very strong. So that is the main point that is being emphasized again and again is pragalbhaya bhaktya. If one is seriously surrendered to Krishna, he is really serious about making devotional advancement, Krishna takes, I take responsibility. So this is the Lord's response to somebody falling accidentally because of some previous bad habits or momentary weakness, circumstances, you know, or his karma. There are various reasons why sometimes a sincere devotee experiences, difficulty in his spiritual life. It could be his past karma is still remaining. It could be an offense, or it could be Krishna's desire that he undergoes this. And we shall discuss that. So this is the Lord's response. The second is Bhakti Devi's potency. How does she deals with this kind of being Krishna's own energy? How does she deals with such kinds of occasional fall down? So in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, after Parikshit Maharaj hears the description of hellish planets, he is concerned about the deliverance of conditioned souls and he is asking, please explain how humans can be saved from hellish sufferings. And Shukadeva Goswami begins to answer, but he tests his disciple. And first he says, perform karma kanda. Do the process of prayashita given elaborately in the Vedic sacrifices, in the Vedic injunctions, where for getting free of the reaction of one sin, you have to perform tapasya for 12 years. 12 varsh tapasya karne baad ek paap se mukti milti. Do that prayashita. And Parikshit Maharaj is very respectfully listening to him, but he disagrees also. And he says that, kwachit nivartate abhadrat, kwachit charati dat puna prayashitamato partham manne kunjara shauchavat. He says sometimes people give up sin, sometimes they again engage in sin. It is like bathing of an elephant. So this atonement does not work, this karmakanda does not work, this elaborate puja does not work, this Vedic ritual doesn't seem to work in terms of purifying the hearts. Tell me something more. So Shukadeva Goswami is saying, like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a nice gloss. He said, what does he say? He's saying, kwachit nivartate abhadrat, kwachit charati tatpuna. He said, sometimes when one is young, one controls his senses, but as he grows old, he indulges. Therefore, karmakanda is not a very formidable way of protecting a conditioned soul. Then Shukadeva Goswami offers jnana as the solution that, just like somebody diseased eats healthy food, he becomes rejuvenated. So if somebody performs the austerities of jnana, develops jnana, vimarshanam, he understands the intricacies of how suffering can come if I indulge in all these things, he gives up. And Parikshit is not really convinced even now. He's saying, Shukadeva Goswami says, Venu gulmam ivanala, just like a creeper gets burned by forest fire. And Parikshit by his glances is communicating, but the root is still there. Root is still there. Just it takes one rain to come back, and this creeper will once again sprout. It's not a very sustainable solution. Right? And at that time, Shukdev Goswami then speaks about the solution, the ultimate solution of which he is very happy communicating. He says, Kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana agham dhunuvant nikar snena niharam iva bhaskara. So if somebody performs kevala bhakti, kechit kevalaya bhakti. So kechit word is used to indicate not everybody will be able to do it. It's very rare. Kechit. And kevalaya bhakti means unalloyed devotional service without any traces of karma or jnana. Basically without any traces, desires for skill, performance, mastery, knowledge, but simply for the pleasure of Krishna. So he's saying, Kechit kevalaya bhaktya na vasudeva parayana, which is dedicated to Vasudev, agham, sins, dhunuvantni, all those sins and sinful reactions, the inclination to sin, everything is destroyed just with the first rays of the, as just with the first rays of the sun, fog dissipates. The sun doesn't even have to do anything. It has to just come on the horizon, the first beautiful rays of the sun, fog is dissipated. So similarly, the proclivity to sin gets destroyed just by the emergence of devotional service. And Krishna had explained in the 11th chapter also that, my dear Uddhav, just as a blazing fire turns firewood into ashes, similarly devotion unto me completely burns to ashes sins committed by my devotees. Right? So, but bhakti has to be like blazing fire. Bhakti has to be like pragalbhaya bhakti, a very intense devotional service. And this intense devotional service, the background of intense devotional service is the sincere repentance of a sadhaka. Sincere repentance is the fuel of this intensity in his devotion. Therefore, sometimes our mistakes help us advance more than our achievements in life. And therefore, sometimes it's necessary to fail. Otherwise, we will never be introduced to ourselves. Achievements never introduce you to yourself. Achievements just create a picture for you for the outside world. It is the failure, it is the mistake, it is the slips which helps us understand where we are and how much we have to go. And when failures happen in life, failures just show where you are, not where you have to be. We have to keep moving. We have to actually, Krishna is just kind enough. You know, just like in a map, sometimes, you know, when a big map of a huge place is there, one of the dots says, you are here. So that's like a failure in life. Failure just teaches you, you are here. Not that the journey is suspended. The journey continues. So he's saying, because of the same thing he repeats that if he accidentally falls down, he'll be purified. And Jiva Goswami comments in the verse of Yannamadheya Shamananu Kirtanat, in that verse he's saying that bhakti may be divided into two divisions. There is santata. Santata is devotional service that continues incessantly with faith and love. Within that, there is service performed with slight attachment or spontaneous devotional service. And most of us are not there. Suffice to know. Sometimes when we hear these descriptions, santata, bhakti, you know, we are not there. That's why it's not making sense. So santata bhakti is devotional service that continues incessantly with faith and love. And there is kadachitki. Kadachitki means devotional service that does not continue incessantly but is sometimes awakened. And within that he says there are three gradations. Within that kadachitki, you know, bhakti, there are three gradations. He is saying, raga abhas mai. Devotional service in which one is almost attached. Lesser than that is raga abhas shunya swarup bhuta. Naam itna complex. Rag abhas shunya swarup bhuta means devotional service in which there is no spontaneous love but one likes the constitutional position of serving. Prem nahi hai par seva karna achha lagta. That is raga abhas shunya bhuta swarupa. And then third is abhas rup, just a slight glimpse of devotional service, lowest level. And Jiva Goswami is saying, even in the stage of abhas rup bhakti, all the reactions of sinful life are uprooted and vanquished. Interesting. Just at the lowest level, abhas rupe, everything is vanquished and uprooted. And Jiva Goswami expresses the opinion that the word karsnena means that even if one has a desire to commit sinful actions, the roots of that desire are vanquished already. Just like sometimes grass may still appear green although it is uprooted. But it is already uprooted. It is appearing green only for some time. It will dry up very soon. So he says that Abhas Rup Bhakti is like the twilight, the appearance of the sun. The sun has not totally come out, but even that is sufficient to, you know, totally remove all kind of sinful tendencies. I'll probably skip certain things and come to Shukdev Goswami. In that sequence then begins to narrate the story of Ajamil as an example of purifying potency of bhakti. Very stark example he takes. And he's saying long things. We all know that story. Ajamil did sinful activities. He was captured by the Yamadutas, and then Yamadutas, Vishnudutas have a confrontation. Yamadutas explain to Vishnudutas, why are we taking him? And then Vishnudutas say that actually he's a very pure soul. How can you take him? He's feared of all sinful reactions. And Yamadutas are totally confused. He said, what is this? You're saying he's totally pure? And then Vishnudutas start glorifying the chanting of Krishna's holy names. And he's saying, Aham hi krita nirveshu janma koti ahamasam api yad vyajahara vivasho nama swastyayanam hare. Ayam hi, this Ajamil has already krita nirvesha, atoned for all his sinful reactions. And you, Vishnu, Yamdutas, you are saying just this life, you are just counting this life. I am saying janma koti ahamasam api. He has not atoned for the sinful reactions of this one life, but millions of lives in the past. We hear it, but we don't believe it actually. Aisa kaise ho sakta hai? Just by chanting the holy names of Narayan, janma koti amasam api. Why? Because yad vyajahara vivasho, in a helpless condition he chanted the names of Narayan. Nam swastyayanam hare. He actually chanted the names of Narayan, therefore he is totally freed. Vishnu Puran says that a sinful person cannot commit as many sins as the holy name can purify. Just by chanting the holy names. Of course, these are not like license to do some golmal. But this is the potency. This is kaimuttika nyaya. This is what chanting of the holy names is doing when you're doing it, you know, even unconsciously without thinking of Krishna. Then what all can happen if we start developing love for the Lord? So he's saying, Yamdutas are saying, but Ajamil did not chant with awareness that this was atonement. He called out for his son because he was afraid of us. There was no Narayan in between. Why does this, you know, significant benefit coming to him? And Vishnu Dutas is saying, he said, you Yamdutas, you are materialistic people actually. Thoda gussa ho jate hain. You are materialistic people, therefore you don't understand. Are even by calling for his son, while not seeking to make atonement of this sinner is accomplished. Are forget chanting all four syllables of Narayan. Even if somebody chants two syllables, even if somebody chants one syllable, he gets freed of sinful reaction. Are forget this chanting has produced purity in his heart. Are the day he named his son Narayan, he chanted for the first time, he was completely freed of all sinful reactions. After that, the bhakti began. After that, every chanting was increasing his bhakti. And Yamdutas are like, what is this? This is totally controversial, totally contradicting. And then they explain what exactly happens when somebody chants Krishna's holy names. Vishnu Dutas are saying, who would know better? And he's saying, they are saying, stenaha, somebody who's a thief, surapo, somebody who's a drunkard, mitra drug, one who betrays a friend or a relative, brahmaha, killer of a brahman, guru talpaga, somebody who indulges in sex with the wife of his guru or another superior. The chanting of the holy names of Lord Vishnu is the best process of atonement. Even if stri, raja, pitr, go, hanta, somebody who murders women, king or father, slaughter cows, sarvesham api agavatam, or all other sinful men, nam vyaharanam uccharanam Vishno. He's saying simply by chanting the holy names of Lord Vishnu, such sinful persons, what does happen to them? Yatas tad vishayamatihi. They attract the attention of the Supreme Lord. Just because they have chanted, they attract the attention of the Supreme Lord. And Radha Govind Maharaj was saying that, he said, Yamdutas was saying, he called out his son Narayan. But Narayan is not the name of his son. Narayan is Narayan's name. Narayan to Narayan ka hi naam hai. Aapne rakh liya, wo baat alag hai. Par aapka hai nahi wo.
वो ये तो नाम तो नहीं का है। सो इवन दो ही चैंटेड नारायण, नारायण डिड नॉट कंसिडर बेटे को बुला रहा है या पत्नी को बुला रहा है या किसी को बुला रहा है, अरे ये तो मेरा ही नाम है, इज कॉलिंग मी ओनली, ही डिडंट हैव एनी कंफ्यूजन इन हिज हेड। सो ही सेइंग यतस्तद विषयामति, कृष्ण इज सेइंग दैट, विष्णु दूत इज सेइंग दैट हाउ डज कृष्ण थिंक्स, ही थिंक्स बिकॉज दिस मैन हैज चैंटेड माय होली नेम, नाउ इट इज माय ड्यूटी टू गिव हिम प्रोटेक्शन। मेरा नाम लिया है ना, मैं प्रोटेक्ट करूंगा अभी इसको। दिस इज कृष्ण, दिस इज कृष्णस हार्ट। एंड चक्रवर्ती ठाकुर राइट्स वन ऑफ द मोस्ट इलेबोरेट पर्पोर्ट्स टू दिस वर्ड्स, वेयर इज डिस्क्राइबिंग दैट द नेम ऑफ द लॉर्ड में डिस्ट्रॉय सेंस, अरे फॉरगेट शुद्ध नाम, इवन नाम आभास इज सफिशियंट टू टेक वन टू द स्पिरिचुअल वर्ल्ड। वॉट टू स्पीक ऑफ शुद्ध नाम, वॉट टू स्पीक ऑफ यू नो चैंटिंग विदाउट ऑफेंसेस, बिकॉज चैंटिंग डिस्ट्रॉयज द रूट ऑफ सिन, वेयर एज अटोनमेंट ओनली द इफेक्ट्स ऑफ सिन्स आर डिस्ट्रॉयड, राइट। सो विष्णु दूत इज सेइंग, अरे बाबा हियरिंग हिज नेम बींग चैंटेड लॉर्ड ऑर्डर्ड अस गेट अजामिल, देन हाउ मच मोर द लॉर्ड विल रिमेंबर अ पर्सन हू चैंट्स देयर नेम विद सर्विस एटीट्यूड। अरे जो सिर्फ अपने बेटे को बुला रहा था उसको भेजने के लिए हम चारों को भेजा है, जो भक्ति से बुलाएगा उसके लिए क्या करने वाले हैं ये, थिंक अबाउट इट। एंड ही सेइंग फ्रॉम द फर्स्ट टाइम ऑनवर्ड्स ओनली अजामिल कॉल्ड हिज सन नारायण, ऑल हिज सिंस वर डिस्ट्रॉयड। यमदूत इज सेइंग बट आफ्टर चैंटिंग रिपीटेडली देयर वर रिपीटेड सिंस, ही वॉज स्टिल मिंगलिंग विद द प्रोस्टिट्यूट, ड्रिंकिंग वाइन, इन ऑर्डर टू डिस्ट्रॉय दोज सिंस ही हैड टू चैंट एट द एंड ऑफ हिज लाइफ। चलो उसने पहले चैंट किया, उससे पहले वाले खत्म हो गए, बाद वालों का क्या, देयर आस्किंग। एंड देन विष्णु दूत हैज बिकम लिटिल बिट एजिटेटेड एंड ही सेज वैकुंठ नाम ग्रहणम अशेषाग हरम विदु, अरे व्हेन वन समबडी चैंट्स द होली नेम्स ऑफ कृष्णा इट डिस्ट्रॉयज अनलिमिटेड सिंस ऑफ प्रेजेंट पास्ट एंड फ्यूचर, सब कुछ खत्म। ही इज टेलिंग यमदूत दैट ऑल दोज वर ऑलरेडी डन। Then Yamdutas are saying, why then did sin not leave Ajamil after chanting the first time? Aap bol rahe hain, he is purified. Aap bol rahe na, he is purified. Then why did sin did not leave him after he chanted for the first time? How could he continue to be attached to the women and commit sin for so long if all his sins were destroyed? Nice argument happening. And Vishnudutas are saying, it's just like the karmas of a Jivan Mukta, which remain for some time simply as impressions. Therefore, Ajamil's sins, which lasted till his death, were like the bites of a toothless snake. You know, sometimes if there is liquor kept in a pot, and even if liquor is thrown, pot is washed, still the fragrance remains. Not fragrance, smell remains. It's relative. It's fragrance for somebody, smell for somebody. But the smell remains. He said that were the kind of sinful the manifestation that you saw was because of this smell. It was just impression. There was no liquor inside. They had been destroyed. And then he says there is another reason why Krishna does not give immediate result. He says the Lord himself causes continuance of sin in order that other philosophies like Karma Kanda will not be completely uprooted. Because if holy name shows such effects, then no one would follow Karma Kanda. And even unqualified people would take to the chanting of the holy names. Therefore, sometimes Krishna allows sins to persist even in the life of a devotee who is chanting Hare Krishna. These are not licenses, again I am saying. Oh, aisa hai kya, chalo. But if this is what is happening with somebody, Krishna is saying this. Ajamil, who is a sinner by the strength of Namabhas, attained Vaikuntha. But smartas, they don't. Even though they know scripture, they chant the holy names, their samsara still continues because they commit an offense of interpreting the name. So Yamdutas are saying, so will everyone who chants get liberated immediately? Yaar, apna ko kaam karna hai aage is field mein. Clear batao. Aage kisi ne chant pant kiya, they get liberated immediately. So he's saying that one should not worry that everyone will immediately become liberated on seeing such power in the name. Though the sin is completely uprooted, still, in most cases, the name shows its fruit to the world after some time. just as a fruit tree bears fruit after some time, not immediately.
So, rahega wo.
And in some cases, now how the Lord decides which applies to whom, that is up to Him. But in some cases, saying the name does not show its effects at all. In order that material scriptures are not completely destroyed. And then after doing this, the name takes the person who has chanted without offense to the Lord's abode. At the time of death, he'll be liberated. He'll go back to garden. So these are very inconceivable things. How exactly somebody will go back to Goloka, how exactly the holy name will manifest its potency in someone's. It might do immediately, it might take some time, it may not happen at all visibly. But one thing is common. Through all that, we should continue chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So he's saying, okay, what happens to somebody who is not completely pure and may still have sins or offenses? He says, still they are beyond the jurisdiction of Yamaraj. Vishnu personally takes care of such people also. And by putting them through some, they may take birth again. But that is not due to sin or piety, but to continue his progress in bhakti. Interesting. He said a devotee may also take his birth again, but that's not because of karma necessarily. That may be still that he has to continue his process of bhakti. And in that case, Krishna maintains that devotee's body through the shadow reflection of the prarabdhas. More technical, but Krishna's will is there. Na karma bandhanam janma vaishnavanam cha vidyate. Worshippers of Vishnu do not have birth due to karma. Right? So they, you know, move on. So then he is asking, if such a devotee is not conducted by karma, then why does he suffer? Tum bola karma ki wajah se nahi, to isko problem kyun hota hai phir? And then Vishwan Chakravarti Thakur is saying two things. He says offenses or Krishna's will. And he's saying, those who have not destroyed offenses through the name will continue to experience the undestroyed effects of sin. And as bhakti increases, the offenses are destroyed, the root is also destroyed, and the person immediately attains Krishna. But then, in order to increase the bhakti, devotees may take one, two, or three births to attain the Lord. Right? And therefore, he's saying the suffering seen in those devotees is given by the Lord, who is skillful at increasing the devotion of his devotee, just like an expert physician is expert at increasing the appetite of his patient by giving a bitter medicine. So Krishna gives a bitter medicine, and sometimes the bitterest of the medicine is remorse, repentance. And the way Krishna purifies his sincere soul is when he slips or falls, he makes him repent and experience hell right here. That's why Prabhupada writes in the first canto of Bhagavatam when Parikshit Maharaj is repenting. He says, repentance is a sign of a good soul. That repentance, that fire burns up his desires. And that fire also embellishes that gold-like love he has for Krishna to become more pure and resplendent. Krishna increases that sense of bhakti in their hearts. Right? And therefore he says, yasya aham anugrahnami harishyatab dhananshana. He says that. And then Vishnu Dutas give their conclusion. That athenam mapanayata krita sheshaganiskritam yadaso bhagavan nama mriyamana samagrahit. Therefore, O servants of Yamaraj, do not try to take him to your master for punishment in hellish conditions. He is totally purified. I'm sorry, I'll just take a couple of minutes before I conclude this. Yamdutas are saying, but he indicated his son. How can that atone for all his sins? And Vishnudutas are saying, Are Baba, forget son. Even other types of chanting which are indirect can purify a performer. Sanketyam parihasyam vyastobam helanam evava vaikunta nama grahanam asheshaga haram vidu. Right? Even if one does not understand the purifying potency of the name, still it will act. Just like a fire burns dry grass to ashes or a medicine cures one of diseases. You may not understand how it works, but it works because you have taken them. Right? So I was once, Radhika Vallabh Prabhu was telling me when we were discussing sometimes this Ajamil pastime. So he spoke from a South Indian Vaishnava Acharya and he says there are three effects of the holy name. And he said first is Drishtafalam. Drishtafalam means the consequences which are visible. Like in Ajamil's case, Vishnu Dutas immediately came, rescued him. drishtaphalam. Then there is adrishtaphalam. Adrishtaphalam means the Lord protects by becoming remaining invisible. Like Draupadi was provided by a sari. The Lord remained invisible, but he responded. And there is drishta-adrishtaphalam. Like Gajendra, in which case Lord saved Gajendra. This was visible to everyone. But he gave him residence in his abode that was not visible to everyone. Adrishtaphalam. So similarly, a devotee may experience suffering externally, drishtaphalam. But adrishtaphalam, he might be actually getting elevated in a spiritual level that is happening. So Narasimha Puran says, how are we supposed to see such a devotee? He says, just like a moon has black spots, but those black spots doesn't impede its ability to diffuse moonlight. Similarly, a devotee who may have traces of sinful activity, his glory doesn't reduce. He still continues to exude because of his saintly character. And the last thing is, how does a devotee respond, one who has accidentally fallen? He does not read all these things and say, oh wow, very nice. I'm going to, you know, some island for vacation to restart. It's not that common practice of confession and start doing adhin, all that kind of thing. But a devotee, the danger is two ways. Either there is over guilt or there is no guilt. If there is no guilt, then a devotee may continue to perform sinful activities and devotional service also and ultimately leave devotional service. And he suffers. And over guilt is, he becomes so depressed that he may give up devotional service thinking that I am not pure enough to worship Krishna. Krishna is saying both are useless. Anything which takes you away from Krishna is useless basically. Even if our repentance takes us away from Krishna, it's useless. Even our repentance has to intensify our absorption in Krishna, because all kind of slips happen because of lack of absorption in Krishna. So that repentance has to intensify our absorption in Krishna. Right? So sometimes how a devotee deals with such unfortunate incidents in their lives, I won't go into detail. But three things. He regrets the lapses. He recognizes his weakness. He takes responsibility of what has happened and does not blame the circumstances. Right? And then finally, he rectifies by getting more determined in his absorption of Krishna. That is the result. He does not just stop regretting. He does not just stop repenting, remorseful. But the practical manifestation of his sincerity of purpose is that he becomes more intense in his devotional service. More intense in his devotional service. Right? So Shukadev Goswami, he is glorifying, chanting the holy names of the Lord. He says, Mriyamano Harinama Granan Putro Pacharitam Ajamilopyaka Dhamma Kimutashraddhaya Granan. Shukadev Goswami is saying that, Are, he chanted without faith since he was dying. What to speak of somebody who chants with faith all his life? He chanted only at the time of death. What to speak of somebody who chants all his life? He was chanting to indicate his son. What will happen if you chant to indicate the Lord? He was chanting. Ajamil was most sinful. What if a sinless person chants? What will Krishna award him? That is the question being raised by Shukadeva Goswami. And therefore he is saying that one should, you know, chant the holy names of Krishna very intensely. And I'll conclude with this. How Shukadev Goswami in the episode of Bharat Maharaj, we saw offenses. And he also saying that Bharat Maharaj fell because of the desire of the Lord, because to increase his bhakti and to warn the sadhakas about the pitfalls of offenses. The Shukadev Goswami says that there are two, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in that purport gives this explanation, that there are two kind of prarabdha karma, auspicious and inauspicious. And he says, the auspicious kind of prarabdha happens because of the will of the Lord. And the sign that this suffering is Krishna's will, this slip was Krishna's will, was post that his prema would increase manifold. And he's saying Bharat Maharaj's case was that because he continued being attached to the deer. If it would have been a normal prarabdha, he would have gone back to his family and continued an enjoying life. He didn't do that. He still continued to stay in the forest and ultimately fell. Because Krishna, Chakravarti Thakur says, Krishna wanted to drown him in a pool of remorse so that he can eventually drown him in the ocean of prema. Sometimes, you know, before you go to swimming pool, you have to take a bath under the shower. So before Krishna drowned him in the ocean of prema, And before we experience Krishna Prema, we have to experience the heat of repentance. Just like before the rain showers come, there is extreme heat. Similarly, before the rain showers of Krishna Prema, affection, attraction for Krishna comes, a sincere sense of deep repentance has to come in the life of a devotee. And that can happen either voluntarily or Krishna might arrange things to happen. Right? So therefore, he is saying that how could somebody fall like that unless he is extremely, you know, somebody from that level cannot fall unless it is Krishna's will. And I'll conclude, definitely this time I'll conclude. I'm skipping certain things, but this is the mentality of a devotee, how he, and I was reading this book, The Journey Within by His Holiness Radhanath Swami, where he's talking about the power of grace. And he's saying, the notion of divine grace is an intriguing concept. In a world where the powers of illusion are oceanic, and our insatiable desire for self-gain daunting to overcome, grace intercedes and forgives our transgressions, compensates for our shortcomings, and awakens our spiritual potential. Divine, motherly grace blesses us with gifts that would otherwise be far beyond our reach. It can inspire inexhaustible hope and irrepressible determination, and it can awaken in us an irresistible desire to receive it. As pure water flows downward, so grace flows down to the humblest and most grateful. Grace is the mother, the soft, compassionate nature of the Supreme, and devotion to Srimati Radharani, the fountainhead of grace, is the key to the realm of love and forgiveness, happiness and freedom. The bhakti tradition teaches that at the core of our being lies our full potential, that each of us is a perfect part of God. When we integrate this truth into our worldview, we realize that our strengths and weaknesses are of no significance when held up to the power of God's love. The power of grace is always greater than the power of illusion. The mercy of the Supreme is infinitely stronger than our egos, insecurities and self-destructive tendencies. So it's neither helpful nor healthy to unduly castigate ourselves for our shortcomings. Rather, when we see our failings, bhakti teaches us to turn to the source of grace and be inspired to make positive change while clearing the mindset that is hindering spiritual awareness. And therefore, when with this sincerity of purpose that we want to serve Krishna, worship Krishna, sometimes our failures bring us closer to our goal much faster than our achievements and successes. But we have to be careful also to not indulge in sinful activities knowingly. But if accidentally it is happening, one should still continue the process of devotional service with great enthusiasm, with great confidence, and not lose hope. And that is Krishna's promise. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Rashmat Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai.